Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene, and we are part of Empire Media. That's at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Jeezy. We'll tease out. What's going on, homie?
It's cool to be here. It's been a while since I've been on the show. Obviously, HBCU Corner, check us out. I'm still around. It's just on the live show, I haven't been present lately. So it's cool to be back. Will T's not here, though. Typically, when we all get together, it's fun. And it's a lot of boxing to talk about. I feel like those are our best segments.
Oh, man. It's a lot of boxing, bro.
But we got the homie coming through later. I know you're gonna mention it.
Yeah, I will. Yes, I will, sir. Definitely. But, yeah, it's a lot of boxing. I thought the weekend was what it was, but that Monday hit different. You know what I mean?
So got the news we needed.
I know. I'm still waiting.
Shout out to Tank and Ryan for making this happen. Because I feel like that's moving the needle in the
Real
right
talk.
Direction. And the fights that the fans want to see are finally starting to take shape.
Can we get credit? Can we go back and give credit to like Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder for actually like really having two guys who really wanted to fight each other? Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. I feel like that's fair. It's just that was
a while ago. That's true.
That's a while. But COVID and some other stuff has happened since then. So we can't necessarily say it's their fault that the Errol Bud fight, of course, is what we're talking about, didn't materialize. However, this side of the street, that side of the street is starting to sort of dissipate at this time because people are making sacrifices. Oscar De La Hoya has been really active on social media. He's throwing his guys out there, Alexis Rocha and who else? Ortiz, and saying, you know, they got next. So Errol and Bud. But it's going to be a rematch. It's a rematch call. So we're going to see two fights and possibly a trilogy. So this is going to be big time stuff.
I know. It's big time, man. We'll talk about it, man. Yeah. I'm kind of hyped about it. We'll get there, but I'm just waiting for the sign. I want signings.
Oh, the actual signings.
I want actual signings, bro.
That's 1,000%.
That's what I want.
I guess it's just a matter of location and time. Putting the pen to the paper.
Yeah, exactly. Once we get that.
But gosh, don't we have fax machines, people?
That's what I'm saying, right? Until it's like Tank and Ryan Garcia, how they were just out, and you know what? It's done.
I'm loving social media. I love what Terrence Crawford posted with the big fishy.
You saw what Earl posted?
I didn't.
Strap season.
Okay.
They both of them. I'll show it to you. We go break.
Man, who's gonna be the judges for that fight? Hopefully not Moretti. Talk with Al about that.
Exactly, man. All right, man. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, Shut Up, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Do not forget to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
And yeah, check out the Urban Sports Scene on Podcast DC. It's the app with hundreds of options and local news here in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Hey, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
And last but not least, check out the Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Just search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Well, T would normally say it, but I'll say it for him. Let's get into our tradition. The pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards getting the 8th pick in the NBA draft lottery.
Some breaking news. Woj bomb.
And in recent news also as well, Michael Winger is now being named as the Washington Wizards president of Monumental Basketball. Is that like he's a GM? Is he officially the GM? Is that the title?
President of basketball operations,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
correct?
It's a Monumental Basketball, but it's the same thing.
So it's Mystics.
It's the go-go,
and Wizards. That's what Monumental covers. I feel like that's just.
So is he? He's not. Is he the new?
I think the president.
Tommy.
What is the actual title? Director. Let me see. I got it right.
I know the title that I got was President of Monumental Basketball. That's the title I saw.
Oh, okay. You're right. Sorry.
So I'm. Is that GM?
That's all the above. Yeah.
So could he hire a GM? Would he be the GM?
He could hire a GM.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
But I doubt he's going to.
Okay.
I don't know. I can take that back.
That's what I'm trying to like when I got the win, we got the news. I got the news.
Interesting hire. I know they were waiting for see what's going to happen in Golden State, but I'm glad they moved forward because the draft is getting closer and decisions need to be made
ASAP.
But good job for Ted. This is a pivot for Ted. It is. And we're about to talk about it. My bad.
We are, though. Then at 8:20, we'll talk NBA playoffs and Carmelo Anthony retiring. Ray and I both appreciate Carmelo Anthony, so I feel like this is a good 1,000%. Time to talk about it, man. And finally, we'll talk about undisputed lightweight champion Devin Haney defeating Vasily Lomachenko and the announcement yesterday that Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford agreed to fight July 29th, Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show In the Ring with Al Jones will join us to discuss all of that. All right, man, here we go. We just want to talk about the president of Monumental Basketball. You want to start with, like, the draft lottery.
I mean, I feel as though we can combine a discussion.
We can, though. Real talk.
I was just reading yesterday how Amari Bailey only worked out for 3 teams thus far, the Wizards being one, the Heat being another. Sorry, 4 teams, the Cavaliers and the 76ers. And what Amari Bailey?
Yeah, he used to play for Memphis, right?
UCLA.
Oh, no,
he remember he went to Sierra Canyon.
He
was a star as a freshman.
Yeah, gotcha.
And the reason why it's starting to make sense to me to draft him, not with the 8th pick, but to draft him in general and potentially trade 8th pick, is because now you got the guy in place from the Clippers who also brought in Brandon Boston Jr., who also played for Sierra Canyon. And if you look at Amari Bailey at the end of the college basketball season, into the tournament, and recently at the NBA Combine, he's been phenomenal as a point guard. He showed that he can shoot the ball. He shot one of the highest percentage in terms of threes, not during gameplay, but just during workouts, because that's what scouts were looking for. Can he shoot the ball? At his size, 6'4", and his athletic ability, I feel like you trade that 8th pick because it's not a great fit.
It's not.
And you follow the trend, so to speak, with this guy that they just brought in from L.A., and I think that's a good fit, that he could come in and eventually be your point guard as he grows. Also, can we say that it's not going to be a player from another country? It's not going to be Jan Vesely or Denny Avdija that's drafted. Because that's what the Ernie Grunfeld era consisted of. They were trying to get, like, the next Luka. They were trying to find the next Dirk. And I feel as though that's going to be another change that we'll see. So I'm thinking trade out of this 8 spot, which is not a good spot to pick from. If you could have got Scoot Henderson, if you'd have been top 3, definitely, because that dude is a beast. Even at his size, he's going to be animal. But I feel as though you can trade back, draft Amari Bailey later in the first round. He could be your point guard of the future.
So then they need a point guard. I kind of think they don't need a point guard. They do need a point guard. I just lie. They do need a point guard. I'm lying.
I mean, Monte Morris is good, but he's your long-term option.
No. You're exactly right. They can definitely use a point guard.
John Wall, the man, was popping.
I always feel like this team always need that athletic. Okay, I guess this is the question. The question is, if they don't resign Kuzma, then my thing would be they need a 3, an athletic 3. I feel like they've never really gotten that athletic. You know, I love Otto, but Otto wasn't athletic, right? They never really had that athletic 3. Because Rui, to me, is a 4 in today's basketball. He's a 4. They forced to play 3. But they never got that athletic 3. That athletic 3 that could, you know, I was talking about Cam Reddish back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Somebody like that.
Well, that's where I feel as though a build trade would have to happen. Will T, shout out to my brother who's not here. He mentioned a trade to New York that would involve Andre Barrett, Seton Hall, is my man. Yeah. Light-skinned point guards, baby. But RJ Barrett. And RJ Barrett could be a guy that could potentially be named in a build trade because it's time to start over.
Yes.
Bill is the franchise player of the old regime. It's time to start anew. And I think one of the first orders of business, we were talking about the draft. I'm going a little bit further because if you're going to bring in somebody who's an explosive 3, you're going to have to trade Bill.
Yeah. So I guess let's talk about this, you know, this present, right?
Okay.
Michael Winger, in terms of his, I'm trying to look up his record.
I can think of this supporting cast. I mean, to get Luke Kennard and Marcus Morris.
Yeah, of course,
Paul George. Like he assembled a pretty good roster.
No,
if they could have been healthy, they could have made some noise. Also, even bringing Wall in, I think, was a good fit for a while, but
it's your injuries it's
just, again, injuries. Same thing. Reggie Jackson, good fit.
That was a good fit.
Zubac.
Yeah, Zubac. That was a good one. Zubac was a good one.
That's what I'm saying. Overall, he has a pretty good track record. Even Montrezl Harrell, I think, is under his leadership.
No, you're right. I'm just trying to figure out, he's never had a team. I guess the thing is, he's never had a team in this situation. I don't know. Let me take that back. I'm not sure he hasn't. But I don't. In terms of my memory, I don't know if he's had a team in this situation where you basically have to start from scratch.
If he was the guy after the Blake Griffin era was over, then
I don't know if he was. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if he was after. I don't know his time frame of when he became the general manager. But if he was a general manager with the Clippers team that, you know, that had the whole rebuild with getting Paul George and Kawhi come in town, then they haven't had to, like, worry about drafts like that. But on the flip side, though, I would argue, you know, to your point, he has had some home run hits then. To be fair, he has then. Because Mann would be a later round pick, and Mann was a solid basketball player. I think he has a lot of potential. So to your argument, I guess, yeah, if you're looking at a situation where we look at the Miami Heat, a team that just picks up the right young players, right? Drafts or whatever. Undrafted, whatever. If you look at this situation with Michael Winger from the Clippers, now Washington Wizards president, maybe he can have the same resume, the same form, ingredients to do the same thing.
All right, let's run it back real quick, bro. Because Kawhi and PG wanted to go back home.
Yes, that's
true.
Two
Cali boys. Yeah. LA is a great spot to play basketball. Yes, yes, it's a great spot to be a professional athlete.
Facts.
For different reasons.
Facts. For many different reasons.
Washington doesn't have that same appeal or allure, but guys want to go home.
Yes.
KD has never wanted anything to do with this dysfunction. Now, are we turning a new page where KD could consider it?
Like to be home.
Yeah. Can you bring guys back? Can you bring Jeff Green back? Can you bring KD back? Jeff Green, look, going to the finals, man, again.
Yeah.
Can you bring some guys, some DMV guys back home? Josh Hart, guys that are from here but never want to play here because they never want anything to do with this organization. Tyrese Halliburton, he talked about how he was happy that the Wizards didn't draft him. You got my man Dinwiddie. Everybody knows the culture on his jack. You talk about Miami, they got the culture.
Yeah.
Whoever you plug in, the culture works. Pat Riley's running that ship.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Who did Pat Riley learn from, Bole? Who's on the ball? Jerry who? Jerry West.
Jerry West.
Right? Obviously, the ball, the logo.
Jerry West
was in L.A.
Yes.
He started that culture there to make it a winning culture. L.A. was a dumpster franchise. So, I'm having just positive vibes spring up right now by this change in culture, and I'm hoping that it could deliver. Maybe bring some DMV guys back. Maybe Fultz.
I don't think Markel will come back.
Like he Markel. Always plays well when he comes
I know, he kills.
He loves playing at
he
home.
Do, so he's the
difference.
Facts,
KD sometimes gets hurt here or he don't want to play. He just has a negative connotation. But like Steve Francis said, I'm motivated to beat these bums because I watched bad basketball growing up. But Markel loves playing here, though.
Okay.
I'm telling you, get some DMV guys back here.
That's not a bad – you know what, Mark? All right, so I'm looking at dude's wiki. Michael Winger.
Okay.
All right. So he came here in 2017.
He's made some good selections in the draft and in free agency. I'm okay with that.
So he helped construct to get Kawhi and Paul George.
Again, they were coming back to LA though, no matter who was there. I don't think that was
both of them. No, I mean they said that Kawhi was this close. Imagine was this close to getting Kawhi to the Lakers. So I'm just saying, like, he did something to help. He did something.
All right, we'll give it to him. It's under his time frame when he's there, so I'm cool with that.
All right, so he helped bring Marcus Morris.
Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, mentioned him.
And we talk about Mann, so Mann was definitely part of that, you know, the people he brought in. So, yeah.
Luke Kennard, don't sleep. I'm not a Duke guy.
No, you're right. No, Luke Kennard was good. It was a good signing.
Remember, the Wizards had them by, like, 35.
He brought Ty Lue then to the Clippers, too.
So we might be seeing that culture shift we need. And again, you might be able to now get free agents that you couldn't previously acquire because people see the change in culture. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm excited. I'm seeing a potential of some DMV homecomings. I'm seeing now we're not going to watch a dude that we've never seen but highlights get drafted. Because, I mean, if you watch Denny Avia on YouTube, he was like, oh, he got that J.
It goes to, all right, now, so this is before. To what you just said about Denny Avdia
not
trusting. We had a poll out there on Twitter, but this is before the
announcement. No offense to Denny. I'm just saying, bro. It's the pattern of the team.
No. Vesely, you're right. It's players you don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not comparing Denny to Jan Vesely. I think Denny's a better player than Jan Vesely. I'm just saying that you're right. It's like you're in that situation in the draft where there's so many players you've seen play collegiate basketball, and then you choose a guy that no one's ever seen play ball.
I'm just saying. The track record, I like Corey Kispert, but over the years, it's just the collection. No, not in Corey, this, not with this current group. He has to fit. Well, Corey it has to be the right fit.
Corey was getting buckets towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and L's. I know. He should.
You like Johnny Davis?
Again, the collection of players. Johnny Davis. Again, that's why you trade this pick.
All right. To your point. So I mean, we put this on Twitter. Do you have faith in the Wizards drafting the right player with the 8th pick?
Of course not. People can say no.
Yeah, they did. 87% said no. 13% said
But now said yes. It's a new guy in place, so we got to redo this, or we got to quote tweet and say, all right, now with the new GM, can you change your response?
People or something. That's true. I don't think they would change anyway.
Even my man Cam Mingo was like...
Cam is diehard
Washington Wizards. He's diehard DMV. And even Cam was like, I don't know. So if Cam's saying I don't know, then that tells me all I need to know about the fan base and how they feel about just the Wizards draft and their history of drafting. However, now we got a new page to turn. We got a new chapter to open up.
Oh, George said he's everyone's basketball boss. So I mean, yeah, in essence, he could hire a GM.
Basketball operations, yeah.
He could hire a GM.
Well, he should, man.
I think he should. I feel like president should hire GMs.
Look at what happened. They were trying to get Connolly from Denver.
Yeah.
And look at what he built. Look where it is now. He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
What about, they was trying to get, what's his name from the area? Thing, man. Detroit. Now he in Detroit.
Oh, who?
Weaver.
Troy Weaver. They were not trying to get him. Ted did not want him.
He didn't want him for real.
He did not. It's the Curtis Malone collection. Connection. Oh. That.
He should have got him.
I don't want Troy Weaver no more.
Troy Weaver, he bring a lot of talent in Detroit, FYI.
He is. Let's see. I mean, let's see what it materializes into.
He just had the wrong coach, for real.
Who, Casey?
Casey is not the one. Casey had that.
Well, he'll have a chance to prove it. I like Killian Hayes. I like all these guys.
He got Wiseman.
You don't like Cade, though, right? Huh? You don't like Cade.
No, I like Wiseman. I like Wiseman. We got Wiseman for cheap.
Cade is a baller, though, bro. Maybe not the sexiest number one pick, but he can hoop.
I say he couldn't hoop. I just don't like him as number one pick. I think he couldn't move.
Just because he wasn't like
he's not.
He's not the most sexy, but he's like Grant Hill. He gets it done.
He's not as athletic as Grant Hill to me.
Okay, he's not.
That's the. I need.
But he's a scorer. See, you want somebody's gonna dunk on you, but he gets the job.
I mean, for number one pick overall, it's a certain level to it. I mean,
Troy Weaver selected him.
Yeah, I don't know. I like how you did that too. All right, Troy Weaver selected.
I don't know about Troy Weaver, man. I'm a DMV dude, but. I guess it's some stuff, some personal stuff.
I feel you.
You know.
I respect that.
That I won't share on the air, but it's all good. I have nothing against any AAU basketball program around. I respect Curtis Malone. We hope to have him on our show in the future. And Troy Weaver, to be real. Yeah. Again, it's nothing personal. It's just I don't agree with everything.
All right. A tweet, my man, King of DC Sports. This is before, actually.
King, Molly, what's good?
Before the GM was announced. But he did say, depends on who the GM will be.
Yeah, he did say that.
And if he will have time to make his own pick. If not, then no faith.
We got 1 minute, brother.
All right, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
good discussion. Is Bill the first order of business to trade, even before thinking about the draft pick and what you should do with it?
You think he's trading Bill?
I would,
but I don't think he's going to.
Get him out of here while his value is high. Facts. His value is still high. Philly still wants him. Harden is talking about leaving. You might as well pair him up with Embiid. That's what Embiid wanted years ago. I know that the Heat would take him in a heartbeat. If Bradley Bill was on this Heat team,
I don't know.
It'd be a shoo-in to be Boston.
I would definitely trade him in the Heat before I do the Sixers. I think there's more. Oh, it depends what the Sixers want to give up. If they give it up Maxi, yes. They got to get Maxi. But I wouldn't give up Maxi.
Not see Morey doing that.
Me either. So if I'm not getting Maxi, I'm not trading. Because the Sixers have nothing that you want. Because they're going to be a good team. So you're not getting like a lottery pick.
Unless it's a future one that's protected or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
Good discussion.
It is, man. Very good.
Trade A-pick. Trade Bradley Beal. Trade everything.
I think real talk. We all want them. We all know they should trade.
It's not any ill will toward Bradley Beal. It's just
facts.
He's extremely well paid, and you can't really build around him. And
he's Bradley Beal.
We need to start over.
He's Bradley Beal. All right, man. The Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals. Celtics avoid the sweep with the Heat. And Melo retires. We'll talk about all of this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aegis Yiddig. Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Ray Jeezy, and we are part of Ampire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com.
Yes, sir. More NBA talk and the Lakers. Wole's Lakers swept by the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets, of course, are heading to the NBA Finals. Wole, were you surprised that the Nuggets won, or were you just surprised by the sweep? And what do you see for the Nuggets moving into their first NBA Finals in franchise history?
Man, I was surprised that the Lakers got swept. Not surprised they lost the series. Because I said this before, that the team that, even though a lot of people are talking about the Warriors, when the Lakers got past the Grizzlies, I was like, the team to be scared about was the Nuggets. If you watch, you know, their style of basketball, especially if you was paying attention to what Murray was doing against the Suns, and you saw that, okay, this is old Murray. You know what I mean? This is like bubble Murray. This isn't like – like, this is as close as you're going to get to what we saw with Murray. But, yeah, the series itself annoyed me because I thought the first two games of the series, the Lakers had a great chance to taking the split. And once they didn't do that, the Nuggets got momentum. They made adjustments. They attacked the weaker defenders of the Lakers, like a D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
They attacked Austin Reeves defensively. You know, he scored offensively. He did a job offensively. He's not a knock, but they were attacking some of the weaker Laker defenders, and you could see what they were doing. And then you had the Joker. You had the MVP. Shows you why. I mean, he's not the MVP, but should have been the MVP, and shows you why he's that type of player. I am happy for, like, the Joker in this aspect, that narrative about him not able to get into the finals, and he should get criticized, he getting all these MVPs and not be able to get to the NBA Finals. I'm glad that narrative is gone because he is one of the best players in the NBA. But yeah, man, I just wasn't, in terms of the Lakers, I just wasn't happy with Darvin Ham. I thought they didn't adjust well. I thought there was players he should have went to. He was going to, you know, Thompson. I mean, you had Mo Bamba, a younger dude with athleticism who could shoot the three ball. You didn't try to use him, but you went with Thompson. I mean, they were, in terms of like the way they were playing LeBron, they were open shooters. You could play B's a little bit more to get some open jump shots. There are players on that bench that you could have went to especially when D'Lo wasn't doing it, because this series with D'Lo was horrible. D'Lo was terrible as a basketball player in this series. So and then they couldn't stop Murray. I gotta give credit to Denver. You couldn't stop Murray, and Denver was with the difference between Denver and the Lakers is Denver was a complete team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And even when the Lakers made runs, it just wasn't Murray. It was Porter Jr. It was
KCP.
It was Bruce Brown. It was all of these dudes. I mean, like, obviously, Murray. Jeff Green made big threes in the closing game. It was a team effort, man. It was what it was.
What's your thoughts about Darvin Ham as a coach? Because he made an interesting statement about adjustments versus poor play by the players.
As a coach, I think this series...
He's getting big love in the media right now.
Yeah, no. I think this series wasn't his best series. Okay. I felt like compared to the other, you know, I thought he was a motivator. I guess against the Warriors, he was good. I think he motivated his guys, right? Saying, like, and you can see it. It was like, oh, even when that he was getting interviewed during like half, and because Steve Kerr was talking about flopping, and he was like, we don't flop. It was his attitude. Like, you could tell he was showing that for his team, but this was a different beast in Denver. I felt like he over – what concerned me the most with Darvin, which I can tell that he was overthinking the series, is that game one, he benches Vanderbilt early. Like, he didn't start Vanderbilt. He started Schroeder. And So he went away from his successful lineup. The reason why Vanderbilt went to the bench against the Warriors is because the Warriors dictated it. Because you had to worry about Steph. So you had to dictate that. Like, all right, Vanderbilt, they're leaving Vanderbilt open for threes, and they need somebody who can make shots. The Nuggets, you didn't wait for the Nuggets to show you what they were doing. So you just benched Vanderbilt, and who was a good defensive player, who has been a spark throughout your whole season. I mean, since he's come to L.A., you benched him for Dennis Schroeder, who's been effective off the bench. So to me, he was just overthinking. And once he did that, I was like, all right, you're overthinking this whole thing. Like, wait, it's game one. Let game one dictate your change. Instead of you going into the situation and say, okay, because Golden State played us this way, maybe Denver's going to play this way, so I'm going to bench Vanderbilt for Dennis the Menace.
Interesting dynamic with the Lakers right now. We're going to talk in a brief minute about LeBron and the comments he made. I think sometimes LeBron James
makes sure
to keep himself relevant. When Denver was advancing to their first NBA Finals, he's like, all right, I'm going to throw a curveball in there because I believe he does not want to retire.
Oh, hell no.
But who needs to retire is LeBron, the GM. I think Rob Pelinka, you got to show him some love about the group that he put together that made a run to the Western Conference Finals when they looked dead in the water. I know everybody has said that. But LeBron, the GM, you also brought in your man Anthony Davis, who we know the talent that Anthony Davis possesses. Yeah. But after that first game, a lot of us wonder why he seemed to disappear in games. Defensively, I want to take the assignment of the best player if I'm him. But he wasn't checking the Joker. And I'm like, the Joker's putting people in the post. Why is it? He doesn't like to play the five. I understand that.
So he was checking him initially. But what happened was he wasn't able – that wasn't a Joker thing. It was more trying to help out everybody else. So he's better weak side so he can help everybody else who's getting beat. So he was checking – if you look at game one, he was blocking the Joker shots and everything. Joker was still scoring because he's a Joker. Mm-hmm. But he was blocking the shots. And so they found out when they put Rui on the switch in the comeback – is that because everybody? I told you, everybody was getting beat.
Right.
So Bruce Brown. So for instance, if AD is checking Joker, right, and everybody's getting layups, AD can't protect the basket because he can't leave Joker open. He has to stay connected to the Joker. So what they did was they put Rui on him. So that way, when Bruce Brown is getting beat, when Austin Reeves is getting beat, when all these dudes, D'Lo was getting, mm-hmm. getting beat. Now he's able to help out. That's why they did it.
That makes sense.
That wasn't on him, though.
That makes sense. What about offensively?
He got to get muscle. He got to get stronger, bro. Because I feel like he's too timid. That's the problem I have with him. It's not his defense. It's his offense. He was too timid.
I guess. Okay, so what you said makes sense as to why the strategy was defensively what it was. However, I still feel like his body language does not exude leadership. Like, if I'm following behind this dude who's supposed to be the top guy on the team, LeBron, give or take, is, of course, the best player. But still, a young Anthony Davis, we were talking about him as the best player in the league.
Yeah, at the time.
And he still possesses that talent. So I just feel like sometimes the dog isn't in him. But I could be wrong, though. I'm just saying what I observe about him. And that's who – because you could fight star with star. I told you on the phone. I told you about Jamal Murray. I feel like if he stepped up, it's going to be a wrap for the Lakers. But I said – The Joker and Anthony Davis should be a wash to me. Yeah. To me, in the first game, they canceled each other out.
Yeah, 43.
But then after that, Anthony Davis at times, everybody was looking like, hold up, why is Tristan Thompson, this is what Twitter was saying, I'm not saying Twitter's always right, but it's like, why is he coming in showing more effort, just in general, than Anthony Davis is?
Because it's different, because they're watching him play Joker. AD works better. If you've seen, even, like, the Warriors tried to do. They tried to put AD out on the island, on the top, away from the basket. You know what I'm saying? So he wouldn't help. His help defense wouldn't be so true. But that's why because he would help off. He would help off and bother Steph. He would help out and bother Clay. You know what I'm saying? The Nuggets, when he was straight on Joker, because you got to pay it. The Joker's a different animal. You got to be with Joker. Like, you got to be with Joker. What I would say this about AD, and I've said this about a lot of basketball players. You know what I'm saying? That sometimes God gives you talent, right? And sometimes you just take advantage of your talent and you score whatever. But sometimes you got to take that talent and take it to the next level. That's like I always made this argument about Vince Carter. Vince Carter was God-given talent. So Vince Carter was way more talented. You could say that talent-wise, God-given ability, better than Kobe on talent.
Like or in terms athleticism of his, core or of God-given ability?
Core athleticism, God-given ability. Kobe had more work. He had more dog to be like a better player. You get what I'm saying? Like, because even Phil Jackson said this. Phil Jackson said this, and it's like I didn't before. before I even heard Phil Jackson say this, I saw this post recently. He said the only player that he had that he felt that should easily be on Mike level was Vince Carter. He said, what's the difference between him and Kobe was the want. You know what I'm saying? I think AD, so it's an AD, to bring the AD, his want ain't is trill. Like, you look at Joker, right? That's a want to be great. Like, AD just, I'm cool with what I was doing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I'm speaking I'm cool, to his yes, whole yeah, mentality.
I'm cool with what I was doing in New Orleans. Because, like, everybody evolves. He's still the same dude in New Orleans. The thing is, he's still the same dude in New Orleans. This is the problem. You have to evolve. You have to improve. If you stay the same, people will catch you. They'll catch up to you. Like, look at Embiid. Yeah, I criticize Embiid for not, you know, sometimes not showing out in the postseason. Like, everybody, like, they blame somebody else. But Embiid's the common denominator in Philly. But if you look at Embiid's game, from year one to year two to year three to year four to year five, Embiid has brought something else to the bag. Look at AD. What has he brought to the bag since we talking about him averaging 27, whatever? The issue is that you got dudes who are now more getting athletic and whatnot. He has to now evolve and change, not change his game, but improve on his game. Like, all right, if you want to shoot, if you don't want to bang, be a better shooter. If you want to bang, be a better post player. Be better at what you, like all these other elements. He ain't improved on any of those elements. It's the same jumper we saw in New Orleans. And if Father Time is undefeated, it ain't like you're going to jump higher than everybody else anymore.
Right. So that's another thing. He's getting older. But to shift gears a bit, because we spent a lot of time on it so far.
Yeah,
real, no, the Lakers is fine. It's just real quick, I want to get your opinion on why LeBron is. And in the post more, I know he burned out in that second half of game four because he had to feel like he needed the ball in his hands and had to score a lot of points in order to keep them in the game. And he had them, of course, ahead by 15. But they went away from him going down in the block, man, which seemed effective. What do you think about that?
The switch with Aaron Gordon hindered that a little bit. I think he was stronger. Yeah, I mean, stronger than the other players that he saw in the block. And then I think it was like, all right, we'll shoot threes.
They definitely did a good job of sending that double and then also getting back in transition when he swung the ball. So I just want to get your thoughts on that. LeBron's potential retirement or whatever he said, whatever. What do you make of it?
Oh, he ain't retiring.
Okay. So now, of course, there's a whole lot of speculation. LeBron could sign with Golden State and all this other craziness.
I even saw a post with the Nuggets and whatnot.
Yeah, so who knows? But he's not retiring. He's not. He was upset. He didn't even dap up KCP, was interesting to me.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh.
KCP didn't look at him, really, but he was ready to get the heck off the court. He was upset. And that's the thing I don't like about LeBron. He did the same thing in Orlando when Dwight Howard's squad beat them 4-1.
Oh, he didn't say no by hands?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
he rolled out. He didn't speak to the media that night either.
Golden State.
He dabbed up a couple people in front of him and he rolled out.
That's
but
weird.
That's messed up because when they came back in Cleveland on Golden State 3-1, that 73-9 team, Draymond and all them hugged him and everything.
Oh, but he always, when Golden State was whooping that ass, he was shaking their hands. All the time.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's situational, man.
Because Draymond, KD, he was at whatever. They were big love
and
out.
In that case, I feel like, just like he said afterwards, I'm still better than 90 to 95% of the league. He felt like they should have won that series. He was pissed. Against KD and Steph and Klay.
Oh, you thought
that we outmatched. It's all good.
Oh, you thought he fully thought
he's going to win? It's one versus a team. But in this case, I feel as though he thinks that Denver
is
not necessarily a better team.
They are.
But they just got the best of them in that series.
Nah.
And he was upset about it.
They are a better team. It's just their number one seed overall.
I just feel like he didn't do it.
You know what I think about Michael Porter Jr. I think in terms of, again, wasted ability, we talk about AD. Michael Porter Jr. is like he's wasting his ability, which is annoying me. Like
we got a few minutes before.
It's all good.
We can talk about Melo real quick.
No, we got time. Oh. I got time. I can talk my call. We got it.
All right. So if you want to transition to Melo,
let's go to Melo real quick. Yeah.
Today's age in sports, we have gambling, right?
Yeah.
You got DraftKings, FanDuel. Before that, we had tournament pools.
Yes,
and
sir.
You and I, 2003.
Here we go.
Our tournament pool. I told everybody on campus that year, University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, I said, Carmelo Anthony's going to be the best player in college basketball, and they're going to win a national championship. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, you did say that. True.
Everybody looked at me like I was crazy. But I seen him in high school, even before OKO, I was like, dang, this dude is, at this height, the way he can shoot and handle the rock, who out there can stop him?
Mm-hmm.
And I put my money on Melo and Syracuse to win that title that year, and nobody else came close to even pick in Syracuse. One other individual, because they heard some stuff from me, put Syracuse in the finals against Kansas, shockingly. Shout out to him, Harold. He said the only reason I put Syracuse in that game is because you kept talking about it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't watch college basketball.
Of course not, he
did. But it just reminds me of how confident I was in this dude's ability to carry a squad as a freshman to a championship. And what saddens me is he still doesn't get enough love for turning around two different franchises.
Mm-hmm.
The Nuggets weren't making the playoffs consistently until Melo got there. And Melo,
He should have been rookie of the year.
LeBron was going to see Melo play. That's how good Melo was as a rookie.
Let's even make it easy as easy as it can be. You're being too modest about the situation. Denver was trash. He got there, took Denver to the postseason as a rookie. He took them to the postseason as a rookie. LeBron didn't make the postseason. Melo took the Nuggets to the postseason.
Yep.
The Nuggets weren't a good team the year before Melo got there. He took them to the playoffs as a rookie. He's won a national championship, took the Nuggets to the playoffs. Yes, LeBron was supposed to be the next coming. But at the end of the day.
And head-to-head.
And he gave LeBron and Kobe the business.
Both of them. Also,
yes,
I'm going to say this too. Again, no shade to LeBron, but. Then again, I guess I am to a degree. This is as a sports fan. Again, yeah. I can't compete with these dudes. But what I'm saying is LeBron went to Miami, yeah. And that's why Melo's Knicks teams couldn't advance. Now, the Indiana Pacers were really good at the time. Paul George, Roy Hibbert. But I feel as though the Knicks, under Melo was balling. They ran into the Heat. 4-1. Bye.
Bye.
Out of there.
Nah.
So if LeBron stays in Cleveland, We might have seen Melo make an NBA Finals appearance. Unfortunately, he ran into Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
And he just had some unfortunate luck. If he goes up against a Steve Nash-led Phoenix team, I have all faith that Melo goes to the NBA Finals. And he had the supporting cast. That team with Kenyon Martin, fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Melo is definitely a Hall of Famer. I can't wait till he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's easy. He's definitely the first ballot. Hall of Famer.
I don't like the way his career ended. I feel as though he was devalued
later
on in his career, which isn't fair. With Udonis Haslam still sitting on the bench being celebrated for doing nothing. No offense to him. But I keep saying that about everybody.
Sometimes you just got to keep it a buck.
Udonis Haslam is on the bench in Miami because Miami's an awesome franchise.
Yes, exactly.
So why is Melo trying to get on a roster?
Why to be desperate
in the middle of the year?
Exactly.
Desperately,
it doesn't make sense.
To a Hall of Fame player of his caliber who changed the game and who was successful from the beginning to the end, turned around again two franchises who were struggling.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony,
welcome.
Hey, thank you for giving me money before FanDuel and all that stuff. Okay. I don't gamble now on sports, but I wish that was available back then. I'd have been good to go. I'd have treated all y'all to the Hawks Nest. Well, it would have been dope.
Hey,
cheeseburger subs would have been on me, bro.
Man,
because of Melo. He was that real.
My man, George.
Jerry McNamara, that whole squad. Billy Edelin, DMV, baby.
You're actually right now. All right, my man, it's George and
Hakeem
LeBron.
Wart.
George and LeBron being a diva, taking the shine off the Nuggets.
Yes, sir.
Melo, so in terms of Melo's legacy, my man Mike Knox said, all-time top five scorer. My thing about Melo, man, is just a walking bucket. That's what it is. He was a walking bucket. And I'm mad that, you know, Melo gets a lot of hate, you know what I'm saying, about, oh, he's not, you know, a winner or this, that, and the other. I kind of don't believe in all that. I think Melo was a winner.
He overcame so much adversity.
That's my point.
He cooked the best players, the best teams. Hollis Price, he cooked them.
You're saying my point for me. No, you're fine. Oh. My point for me is that, yeah, everybody doesn't win a championship. I mean, people got to stop doing that. But what he did in college to win that championship as a freshman, taking that team, that Syracuse team, to the national championship to win it all, amazing.
And look who they had to beat.
And look what
Kansas,
they beat.
Texas,
yeah.
Oklahoma. Some of the toughest teams, yeah. Royal Ivy and TJ Ford, that
yeah,
team,
that,
bro.
Yeah, exactly.
And Melo led
then
as fast a freshman.
Forward,
freshman.
Then the year after. Like, to me, a winner, if you ain't a winner, if you go to one of the worst teams in the NBA and you make the playoffs as a rookie, you're a winner to me. Like, and then – you know what? I mentioned, everybody doesn't win a championship. Melo took the Denver Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals and they lost to the Lakers.
Yep.
Right? So, like, Melo has done it. Like, Melo has been that
Team
dude.
USA?
Team USA, a gold medalist, and thrived in Olympic basketball. Melo
because his game fit.
My only thing issue with Melo is Melo going to New York. But it is what it is. I feel like he had to do it. He felt like that's what he wanted to do, and that's fine. He went to New York and still balled out
and
New
brought
York.
Him back.
Yeah.
Brought
him back to prominence. So, I'm just saying, like, Melo has, to me, to say he's not a winner is disrespectful. He is a winner. It's just that he didn't win a championship. I think we got to put that out there. Like, I grew up, like, I love Charles Barkley. He didn't win a championship, and I don't consider Charles Barkley a loser. I'm a Patrick Ewing fan. I don't consider Patrick Ewing a loser. He ain't win a championship. Sometimes there are people, there are roadblocks in your life or in basketball. There's a roadblock, and sometimes you can't get by that roadblock. And Ray mentioned all the roadblocks that Melo had to overcome. Like, he had to overcome Kobe. He had to overcome even go to New York, LeBron and those Miami teams. Like, not a lot of people can beat those squads. You know what I'm saying? So,
man, shout out to Melo, bro. He never gave in to team up, as much as that was mentioned at the time. I remember Brandon Jennings was like, everybody needs to just team up. That's what we doing now. Yeah. And he didn't do it. KG told LeBron, man, team up, bro, because you don't want to be like me. Because KG probably, if he doesn't team up with Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, he ends his career just like that. All-time great
Ride
a ring.
Melo wouldn't try to team up. I just think that, because New York tried to give him extra help. Like, they gave him Amari Stoudemire. They tried. It's just that, it just wasn't, I don't blame everything on Melo. I just don't blame it on
Melo. I don't know. Again, I think the media just gave him an unfair shot.
Yeah.
When D-Wade.
Went
toe-to-toe with Baron Davis, rookie.
Yeah.
Everybody was loving it.
Yeah.
But it seemed like Melo just didn't get the same level of respect. I don't understand why. No, love Melo.
I totally agree. All right, so real quick, we're going to talk about this Boston series. I can show them some respect. Got some respect, though. Boston took game four, 116-99, and are now down 3-1. Game five is in Boston tomorrow. Do you think Boston could push this to game six?
Yeah, absolutely, because they have enough talent to do so. And also defensively, when locked in, they're actually pretty good. They're athletic, they're long. But it's just a matter of which Boston team is going to show up. The team that gave up two wins to Atlanta, the team that dropped to the Sixers three, where they were down 3-2.
Yeah.
Which Boston team is going to show up? Consistency has been an issue throughout the course of this playoffs for whatever reason. Versus last year, they had a tougher role when they played like Giannis, a good Giannis, in Milwaukee. And they played Brooklyn. With KD and Kyrie, both in the lineup, and they overcame and they played well. They had that chip. This year, I feel like the entitlement is there a bit because they're coming off NBA Finals appearance, and that's why the consistency is lacked. So, of course they can, but which team will show up?
Yeah, I think Boston could definitely do it. You know what I'm saying? I think that they have the talent. I think they're more talented. They are the more talented team. I think that is the fact. They are the most talented team. The Miami Heat just got the want, and they got the drive, right? I'm gonna be really interested to see if Boston could pull game five out and then, you know, take it to six. And if they say Boston wins the game in Miami, will people say Jimmy Butler was poking the bear? Because he was doing a lot of antics in that blowout game. A lot of people going at Williams, they're going at, you know, Al Horford. But if they come back and bring this down and take this to a game seven, is the narrative Jimmy Butler was poking the bear?
For me personally, no, because Jimmy Butler has an eighth seed in a position one game away from the NBA Finals. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, true.
Point blank.
True.
And he overcame some tough squads to get here, man.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's
I want him to lose.
It's unfathomable.
He annoys me. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I understand that. I understand he does. But I'm just saying.
But I get your point, though.
You still don't want to go down in the history books as the first team in NBA history to give up a 3-0 lead. But you got to love guys like Bam. You got to love Gabe Vincent. You got to love the role players. And you got a little Spoelstra. Yeah. You didn't like him at first. He grew on you.
Oh, no, he's a beast.
Maybe Jimmy Butler grew on you, bro.
No, he won't, though. Jimmy won't, though. But Spoelstra has, though. I won't hold you. Like, Jimmy won't. But
I still expect the Heat to win. It might be 4-2.
Okay.
But I still expect the Heat to advance.
They should, though. Real talk. They should, though. I mean, you got a 3-0 lead. You should.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to beat them 4 in a row. Yeah. I don't care how.
I don't care how good you. It's going to be hard. George, we're about to go to break. George said Melo gets credit for the gold medals, but he largely sabotaged himself by leaving Denver.
Maybe
it's possible. I think he did, but I don't want to go that hard.
He took on the challenge.
I think he should have stayed in Denver. I've always made that argument, but I mean,
there's a lot of speculation that his wife had a lot to do with
back then,
New York move.
So it's,
he felt succumbed to the pressure, and then also he missed the East Coast. He missed BMO. He missed New York, and that's the decision he made.
Yeah, we'll see what's
no happening. Asterisk for me, bro.
No asterisk. Hey, man, Haney added the legend of Loma to his belt. but with controversy. Also, it looks like we will finally get Bud versus Earl. Al Jones from In the Ring with Al Jones will join us to talk about the fight game after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aja Jidig. Deuces. Did you realize
that you are a champion in their eyes? Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everybody knew that, but it ain't that serious. That's that. So if you gon' do it just like this. Did you realize that you are a champion? You don't see just how wild the crowd is. You don't see just how fly my style is. I don't see why I need a stylist when I shout so much I can speak Italian. I don't know, I just want it better for my kids. And I ain't saying we was from the projects, but every time I wanna lay away or deposit, my daddy say when you see close your eyelids. We was sort of like Will Smith and his son. In the movie, I ain't talking about the rich ones. Cause every summer, he'd get some brand new harebrained scheme to get rich from. And I don't know what he did for dope, but he'd send me back to school with a new wardrobe. And hey, 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 I think he did when he packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live. Everything I wanted, man, it seems so serious. That's that sh-. So if you gon' do it just like this. Did you realize that you are a champion? When it feel like living's harder than dying. For me, giving up's way harder than trying. Lauryn Hill said her heart was in Zion. I wish her heart still was in rhyming. Cause who the kids gon' listen to? Huh? I guess me if it isn't you. Last week I paid a visit to the institute. They got the dropout keeping kids in the school. I guess I clean up my act like Prince of Doom. If not for the pleasure, least for the principal. They got the CD, then got to see me drop gems like I dropped out of PE. They used to feel invisible. Now they know they invincible. Did you realize that you are a champion?
This is the story of a champion. Runners in the mark and they pop the gun. Stand up, stand up. Here he comes. Tell me what it takes to be number one.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wole, and we are part of Amplifier Media. That's AmplifierMedia.com. All right, right now we have Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show In the Ring with Al Jones. Hey, what is good, Al?
What's happening, fellas? What's going on, man? How y'all been?
We good. Hey, bro, the weekend, man. The weekend. Absolutely. And the news after that. That's how we've been.
Absolutely. Hey, one thing I can say, man, is not. I definitely got to say, sports, the box, fans won this weekend. If nobody else won, the fans won this weekend.
Except for the judging. 116-112, we lost on that one. But other than that, you're right.
On that particular one judge, that was a little far-fetched. Yeah. I give that. But far as 12 rounds, pound for pound, I mean, nonstop action, There's no way a fan could be disappointed in the match.
Not at all. And we're getting the matchups we want.
And I got to tip my hat to Vasily Lomachenko. Yeah. And I got to tip my hat to the undisputed, like I said, the youngest undisputed champion of all time, Devin the Dream Haney. Yeah. We must tip our hats to them.
Oh, sure. No doubt. So, Al, how did you score the fight?
I had it draw. In favor of Devin Haney, 7-5.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, see,
I'm okay with that.
And the reason why I have it, because Devin took the 12th round.
He did.
The deciding factor in the fight.
Yes.
So you gave Devin the first?
And you know, like, and y'all know, like I know, fellas, in order to be the champ, you gotta beat the champ.
No, I'm arguing that.
That's true, too. Did you give Devin Haney round one on your card?
On my card, round one could have really been a draw.
Yeah. See, a lot of people, I'm not arguing that.
That to me, round one and round 12 made the difference because everything else to me was clear cut. In terms of clean shots, although I feel like Loma landed the cleaner shots and the harder shots, but you know Dev was consistent because he's such a gifted boxer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I had, like, for me, because I had, like, arguments with my friends or whatever, and they were like, some people actually, and I'm not going to, look, this is the thing. I don't even argue real talk. I don't even argue with A4 if you give Haney A4 or vice versa. I don't argue that, because I told you every close round, a lot of those rounds, and I said this during the fight, can go in between. A lot of those rounds can go either which way.
Sure.
But my issue with, it's about which round you choose. Like, so when you have the definitive round, which I had an issue with that judge, when the 10th round, when it was an obvious Loma round,
yeah,
right.
That's what bothers me. If you said A4 and you told me A4 and you gave Haney round, let's say for example, you gave the first round, or you gave Haney the fifth or fourth round or sixth round, I wouldn't have an issue with that, because to me, I said this before, like Ray was talking about the cleaner shots came from Lomachenko. I would make the argument of saying that I respect Devin Haney's going to the body game and said you can reward that too, because he did a lot of good body work throughout that whole fight.
Absolutely.
So I'm not. So if you're going to use. So my thing is, A4 doesn't bother me at all. His A4 bothered me. I had it 6-6. I had it a tie, but I'm never going to argue, ever going to argue anybody 7-5 or whatever, because I felt like, and even depending, and if I have to see your card to understand what you did, if you did worse than 7-5, right, I would have to see your card. But I would never argue that, because like all of us, boxing subjective, whatever. But if it's a close round to multiple people, then it can go any which way.
Right. And I was very pleased with the performance of the young champ.
Yeah.
I mean, Devin pretty much dominated the early two-thirds of the fight, and I saw a little shift in rounds 9, 10, and 11.
2 months later, yeah.
That's when I saw a little shift. I mean, but this was still an intense high-level
performance. Yes, it was, man. It was a high-level fight.
Yeah, and
it was a true definition of a chess match, the way the fight was marketed, and that's what it really was, man. And it was a wonderful display of the science of boxing.
It was, man.
True. You know. I respect your opinion because you know boxing. You know that when Jojo Diaz fought Haney, that Haney was tested in that fight. He got hit hard in that fight, and that helped to prepare him for this matchup with Loma. But those who are casuals would say he never fought anybody. He did.
Yeah.
And this Loma fight, again, Devin Haney can box. I don't care about the power. It's not about that. That's why the body work counted.
Yeah.
The judges, they rewarded him for that because the brother can box. So I appreciate that. What do you think about a possible rematch? This is giving all Ward Kovalev vibes.
Honestly, and it's also right. It's definitely Canelo and Triple G, the first fight.
Yes.
Which was controversial.
Yes.
You know, you got to – I mean, I sat back, man. I watched this fight 3 times so far this week. You know, and I even watched it one time in slow-mo, in slow motion. You know what I'm saying? So I sat back and watched this fight, man. And honestly, right now, and I don't like the way that Lomachenko has been a poor sport. As Devin Haney tweeted earlier this morning.
he
lost the fight. Be a man about it. You know, accept your defeat. I mean, everyone had them. The stage was set for Loma to win. You know, we all know Bob Arum is in love with Loma. One of his favorites of modern day.
Oh, okay.
And Devin Haney went in there and made a performance. He did what he had to do. He took care of his business.
See, Al, I'm glad you mentioned Bob Arum, because to me, Bob Arum killed any possibility of a rematch for the simple fact that that audio was leaked where he told Loma, "You easily won that fight. Sorry about this." And then that's what pissed Devin off, who said he would sleep the whole fight. So now there's no way Tom Brink can bring Devin Haney back. And that's going to mess up a Shakur fight. So the only realistic option for Dev is to move up, unless you fight Tank at 135, which he's a free agent. And that's a possibility next year.
True. Very true. You know, the fight fans would love to see Devin Haney and Javante Tank Davis. You know, the fans would love to see that. And me, myself, you know, I would like to see that fight. But this is another issue which Ryan Garcia got caught up in, trying to make that fight to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at 135, that's hard for Devin now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 130. So if I'm Devin at this point, I went all the way to Australia to become undefeated champ, went back to Australia to defend my undisputed champion of the world, and now I put it on the line again with a future Hall of Famer, you know, in Vasily Lomachenko, one of the best that ever did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're talking about someone with 396 amateur fights and wins and one loss. We talking someone that became a champion at 3-0 in professional boxing when he captured his first title. We talking a 3-division world champion. At this point, I'm done at 135.
So just vacate, because he talked about moving up and then potentially going back if the numbers or if the matchup look right. But there's some good matchups at 140. You already know the relationship with Eddie Hearn in the match room, and you got Regis who just signed there. That's a potential fight. You got Josh Taylor. There's some fights at 140, and Dev don't duck nobody. That's what I love about him. He wants the
and
big
then
fight.
Also, true. Also, he got Teofimo waiting on him at 140.
Yeah.
that's lost his luster a bit, but he's with Top Rank for the next, 2 years, right?
Who, Devin?
No, Teofimo is.
Teofimo, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Teofimo would love to get in there and see.
Okay.
You know, we got the politics of it, which we know truly, gentlemen, that always plays in the politics of this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But hopefully, at one point or another, if Devin goes up to 140 and dominate like he's done at 135, he shoots up to 140 and dominate that and become a champ, get some belts. Then eventually Teofimo gonna have to come and see him anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. So you were there in person, right, for the fight, Al?
Yes.
So what was the atmosphere like? Because you saw Bill Haney got hit with a bottle. The crowd was extremely upset because it was a pro Loma crowd. Again, I thought I had Loma 7-5. To me, the majority were favoring Loma in that fight. Maybe it wasn't. Again, it was close. But anyway, what was it like?
I mean, it was very electrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Loma, true enough, I mean, the Ukraines here in America have Loma has a very strong backing.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I would not think that. But it came back today on the TV when I was watching it.
And Haney's from Vegas, technically. I mean, he's from Oakland, but that's his home.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right. And especially it's a very strong Ukrainian backing out of New York. And they came there definitely came there to support Loma.
Uh-huh.
You know, he has major support. I mean, you would be amazed, fellas, of the support, just like Tyson Fury when he came here to America and fought Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
I mean, the Brits took over.
They did.
They did take over. Sing that corny ass song. Yeah,
They did.
Right. And they're chanting, "There's no Tyson Fury." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was electrifying. They lost, you know. And like I said, don't be a poor loser. I mean,
it's hard, man. Deontay,
you have to accept what it is, what's laid out there. And try to come back and try to make a way to see the man again. The fans want to see it. If I'm Devin, I'm not going to give it to him myself personally. I'm moving on.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
You know, to bigger and better things and taking my health in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then maybe we can see each other again at a catchweight.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it depends on what side of the aisle you fall on because, again, after fights, you could tell who's for who. Like Deontay Wilder, everybody said Fury cheated. There was some glove issues. Deontay Wilder was saying his outfit was too heavy. It's crazy. It's crazy the aftermath of fights. But when my emotions are done. I was hitting all the way up left and right. Like this is some BS. After this Rolly stoppage and blah blah blah. And that's because I was in I was rooting for Loma for whatever reason. I have my reasons, but again, no knock on Haney because Haney's a great boxer. I've said that many times.
Yeah, you have to.
But now that the emotions are out of it and now the dust is settled, it's like, okay, folks got to move on. And the conspiracy theories for me now out the window after seeing Haney get fined an insane amount for a push.
Yeah.
When how many pushes happened before fights? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right.
That was annoying to me.
$400,000
for a push.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
For a gimmick push.
That's wrong.
For a gimmick push.
That's
really
wrong. That's wrong. I feel as right. though now you can throw out the conspiracy theories and say the fight was given to Haney, because I'm like, hold up. They fined this man that much. Tank should have been fined for a whole lot of things.
But
going back to where we started, this is now at least the third fight this year that we got. I mean, if you count the Fulton fight that's coming up as well, where it's like, wow, boxing is starting to make it happen. And we move on now to Errol and Bud. Just right. What was your reaction to that when you found out it was pretty much a done deal?
He been preaching it. I'll give credit. He been preaching it. I ain't gonna lie. Al been preaching it. I've been like, I don't believe this crap, though. I've been preaching it, though. Go ahead, Al. I'll give you the floor to show us, homie.
I have, man. I've been looking forward to this matchup for years now, you know, and I'm glad to see that we're 90% there.
Yes.
Okay. 95. At this particular moment, the contract still hasn't been signed.
There you go.
We have an agreement.
There you go.
We have a right. We have an agreement, fellas, but the contract has not yet been signed. But at least we're there right now. We're 95% there. I'm looking forward to it. Both camps have started. Mm-hmm. My resources tell me both camps have started.
Okay.
They're cranking up. The engines are cranking. July 29th in Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great undercard on this fight also. And I'm just waiting, man. I can't wait to see this. This reminds me of Hagler and Hearn. So I'm definitely looking forward to this, man. I can't wait. I mean, we both saw, you know, Ugas beat Terrence Bud Crawford twice in the amateurs.
Mm.
And we saw what Spence did to Ugas.
Ooh.
You know,
yeah.
So, but, you know, Terrence Bud Crawford is not the same person. Not the same person that he was in the amateurs.
True.
And you know, but it gives us an idea. You know, as I stated before, previous amount of times, I mean, Errol Spence has Derrick James in his corner. Mm. You know, that's almost like having Phil Jackson as your head coach, not your GM, but your head coach. Derrick James is a future Hall of Famer in coaching. I mean, his stable is one of the strongest in boxing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am so happy. You know, hopefully we get this signature on this. I'm so happy. I'm looking forward. I'll be there front and center for this particular fight. And, you know, hopefully we will get a chance to see Errol Spence as the undisputed welterweight champion of the world.
Listen to what I'm telling you, though. And I know you heard this before, but it's going to be a trilogy, especially if they split. Now, if you see Errol win, we're all pro-Errol in this.
We are pro-Errol, and
BOMAC has changed his stance, too, man. He's giving Errol so much love and Frank Martin, which is hilarious. But anyway, that's a side note. But think about it. If Errol wins fight one, of course, Bud is going to go for the rematch.
Right.
And depending on what happens, we could see a great trilogy between two of the greatest fighters at the right time. So
right.
It's a win for boxing. You talked about a win for boxing earlier in this past weekend. This year is shaping up to be just a win-win for boxing. And then I read that Jermell Charlo, this is the only scenario in which Errol will fight him. If he beats Bud, he'll move up to fight Mill. And that's two Derrick James fighters.
Right. So I'm looking forward to it, man. You know, and I don't think Bud will be ready for Charlo. Charlo's a little too big. You know, he's a much, much larger fighter.
Uh-huh.
You know, but who knows? I mean, and yes, this we can expect a trilogy in this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone has the rematch clause.
Yeah, I love it. I love that,
In this particular fight. It's a you know, a lot of fans have it as a 50-50 at this point. Uh-huh. I'm just glad we're finally getting a chance to see it after all these years.
Look, man.
You know, the hype is there. It can't get any bigger. I mean, at one point, it began to lose luster.
Yes.
You know, it began to lose its luster. So at this particular point right now, I'm glad they're finally getting a chance to make it happen. And I'm looking forward to it, man, on July 29th at the Toyota Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's going to be a great night.
I want to ask you real quick, going back to something you said earlier in terms of just the amateur background. You mentioned Lomachenko's amateur career. You also just mentioned Ugas beating Bud. How much does that factor in? Because locally, we got Gary Antoine Russell. He beat Deron Ennis, I think, two or three times in amateurs. But Boots right now is the bigger star in boxing and somebody that people feel can challenge these two guys we're talking about. So how much does the amateur background matter when it comes to these pro fights?
I don't think Boots is ready for neither one of these guys, okay, to be honest. And true enough, yes, Gary Antoine Russell, he's a bad boy, and he got out on Boots a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, if you notice, Boots mentioned everybody else but him.
Now, see, that's crazy because Richardson Hitchens lost. He's the one that lost to Antoine three times. Sorry, not, Boots lost twice, and he beat Antoine once. But Richardson is like, man, I want Antoine in the pro ranks. And Richardson got a big fight coming up.
Richardson Hitchens.
Yes, he got a big fight coming up too. We getting a lot of good fights, man. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, versus Montana Love.
That's what I'm talking about. That's going to be a good fight. This is going to be a great year for boxing. Al, we're going to chop it up throughout the year, definitely.
Absolutely, man.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. So I'm really looking forward to summer. I mean, it's like 4th of July all summer already. You know, so I am definitely looking forward. The fans have to be happy, you know, with what they're getting to see. They're getting to see the fights that they want. Yeah. I want to applaud Tank and Ryan Garcia. Yeah. Tank put it on the line and said, forget a belt. I want to fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I'm here to do. Really right now, as I was discussing earlier, I mean, Tank, we got to give it to Tank. Tank is the face of boxing right now. You know,
he's definitely
carrying boxing on his shoulders. Big ups to Tank. You know, Javante Tank Davis. I'm very pleased with what he's doing, his performances. And, you know, I would love to see Tank and Devin Haney go at it. You know, if Devin decides to stay at 135 or meet Tank somewhere at a catch weight. You know what I'm saying? I think that's going to be a mega fight if it ever is to happen. And, I mean, those are the two youngest, most strongest prospects, right? You know, champions right now, previous champion with Tank. Current champion with Devin Haney. You know, I would love to see that, you know, before throwing Shakur Stevens into the mix as well.
That's a bad boy.
That's the guy right
there.
Probably the most skilled right now. Now, I want to ask you this, and this is my last question for you. Like I said, I always appreciate talking with you. Tonight has been amazing as well. You mentioned Tank being a face of boxing. I agree with that. Do you agree with this? I believe we have not seen the best of Tank yet. Like, even in the Ryan Garcia fight, we still ain't seen it yet. He felt like Ryan was inferior. I'll be honest. I'm going to put it out there. The Russells, they told me a long time ago, off camera, Ryan Garcia ain't it, bro. I'm telling you. I'm keeping it real. And everybody in the boxing world knows he's not that guy. But, again, you factor in just what he brings to the table from a celebrity type of standpoint and social media. So Tank was like, man, he was slower than I thought. Like, we ain't seen the best of Tank. I think Haney's the one that would bring that out of him. What you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's no question about it. I mean, that's the fight, everyone. That's the mega fight. I mean, honestly, right now, if you put Tank, Javante Tank Davis versus Devin Haney on July 29th, you're probably going to get more people to see Devin Haney and Javante Tank Davis.
Those two
are going to bring it, man.
I don't know, man. This fight, I think the winner of this fight becomes the face of boxing. I ain't gonna lie to you. I think this fight I think the winner of this fight is the face of boxing. I think it was Earl 10 times he's the face of boxing.
It depends on how the fight goes. Tank knocks people out.
Yeah, but it's
his
different.
Knockout percentage is so high.
I hear you, but Earl has been taking dudes out. The folks you know, he's been taking them out. You know the people that Earl been taking out.
He went the distance with Mikey. He went the distance with Sean Porter. Oh, no, his resume.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about excitement.
But I'm talking about the face matches excitement and also what you do with that resume. Like, look at the bodies he's put across.
I agree with that. But look at the arena. Strap season.
Let him go.
Look at the stars in the crowd when Tank fights as opposed to Earl.
I mean, Earl gets Tank. Earl, in Texas, it's different. I know. I agree. I'm not arguing with you.
No matter where he fights, no. Cali, DC, Tank.
I agree, dude. Tank is a known.
He's the biggest draw right now.
He's the biggest draw right now. I agree. But I'm talking about, to me, I look at face. When I talk about face, I'm talking, it's a combination
of
everything.
I'm okay with that.
And this is the argument I had when folks were, when we talk about Earl and Bud, same thing applies. That resume that Spence puts out there and the body count with it, look what he did to Ugas.
Right.
Everybody thought he was done before Ugas.
So you just said you think the winner of this fight is the face of boxing.
And more Earl than anybody.
Outside of Omaha, Crawford is not a draw.
Look what I just said. Mostly Earl. Earl with his shirt.
Tank Davis.
Yeah.
You got to give it to Tank right now. Tank is the hottest right now.
No, he is. He's by far he's the hottest. No, real talk.
Today.
Today. I don't argue with that. You know why? Because I think he's out there more now. He's fighting more.
Right.
He's been more active than the others. I agree. He's been more active than the others.
You know, he's out there now. He's young and up and coming. I mean,
he got Tyson-ish.
And we haven't seen the best of Tank yet.
That's the same thing I said. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
I mean, he's got Tyson lore to him because he knocks folks out.
Haney got the reach and everything.
And that's what the fans want to see.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree. Don't get wrong.
Now, us, you know, we know the science of it.
Yeah.
We know the sweet science of boxing. We look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see things differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But right now, at this present moment, haven't seen Spence in over 2 years.
That's the thing. I know.
Spence is gonna come in rusty. You know, he's had his health problems with the car accidents and stuff like that. So and his eye problems and things with his eye and everything.
True.
So it's a difference. We gotta see Spence again in order. But right now, today, as we speak today, and please don't get me wrong, the only person that sells out that puts 70,000 people in arena seats is Errol Spence.
Yes, I know.
You know, and fill up the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah.
So,
we
know at one point at his height.
Yeah.
But in the last 2 years,
he's kind of trending down. Yeah, it has.
You know, right now. Now, once he comes out and proves himself again, then we have to take a second look at that then. But right now, as of today, Javante Tank Davis is a household name.
No, he's him right now. I ain't gonna lie, he's him right now. In terms of, I know this because I mean, we saw here in DC, New York, Vegas, he brings everybody. LA, he brings everybody. I'm not denying that. I'm just, I will say this though, that rest is gonna be good for Earl because he gave you a little rust and you look at the Ugas. That rest is gonna be good for Earl, though.
I think the first round, Bud always starts slow as well.
He
started slow against Kell Brook. Kell Brook probably took the first two rounds of that fight, so it's gonna be a chess match to start, and then that's where I expect Earl to turn it up, and that's when Earl gets scary because his power is on a different level.
His power is different.
He's about body punches.
Expect to see Errol Spence and kind of reflect back on this come July 29th.
Yeah.
Reflect back on May 20th.
Yes.
I kind of expect to see the same type of fight that we saw this weekend with Loma and Haney with
the going body. Yes.
And Bud.
Yeah. I like that thought process. Because in Southpaw, I like that. Yes.
I kind of expect to see that same type of fight.
Yeah. He'll go to the body. Yes.
And we know Spence will.
Notorious.
Spence will go to the body.
Notorious. Too. And that's what I'm saying. Earl, I mean, oh my God. I mean, Bud ain't never seen nobody who go to that body like that.
No,
man.
He hasn't.
This is a big welterweight, man. This is different, man. It's different.
Right.
It's different.
I'm kind of expecting to see the same type of fight, fellas.
I think so too, man. Hey, Al, man, thanks for being on, my man. Before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can catch your content and catch you on social media.
Oh, yeah. In the Ring with Al Jones on all social media platforms. And you can hit me on the DM all the time. AJ in the Ring, that's my personal one. On IG, that's AJ in the Ring. You can catch me there. And hey, I'm always on deck, man. I keep good content.
Of
Thank you, fellas, for having me on again.
Always.
Urban sports scene is the best.
Oh, man, you the dude, man.
And I'm welcome. Have me on anytime.
Hey, Al, appreciate you. I'm going to be down there in Vegas, man. All right, I'm making it happen. I'm making it happen.
Let me know, man.
I will, bro. I will.
All right, now I'm going to get back to my Cabernet and Kendo Jackson. Y'all have a good night.
All right, bro. You take it easy, man.
All right, later.
Later. Hey, man, again, follow Al on Twitter. That's at N the Ring Al Jones. At N the Ring Al Jones. Yeah, man, Al, cool, man. That was dope, man. That was really good
content. Good stuff. I know he loves Haney. And
yeah, he does.
Like I said, I think the raw emotions, it's more so sometimes.
I know.
Bill Haney, and I get Bill Haney, he's a businessman. Yeah, he's got to do what he's got to do. Yeah. I was annoyed by some of his
antics. I was annoyed by it too.
Oh, sure. So that's why I feel like I'm like, you know what? Loma needs to teach this dude a lesson to humble his dad. But yeah. You know what? Again, his dad is doing the right thing in terms of making sure his son is in the best position to succeed.
Yeah,
good stuff. And I'm looking forward to see what happens. Haney only fought once this year so far. So I think we see Haney again at 140 probably before the year's over. Tank is done. He's fought twice this year.
Tank is on house arrest right now. Tank could be at one. Could get to 140 if he wanted to.
He got the power to go to 147. Easily. He's small for 147, but he got the power.
Yeah.
Because Sean Porter's like his power translates all the way up to 54. That's how hard he hits.
Yeah, I agree. I think he can go up.
Sean Porter's a good one to listen to when it comes to box analytics because he's sparred a lot of these guys and he just knows. He knows the ins and outs of the sweet science we just talked about. Dope stuff. Good podcast too.
It was, man. It's been a dope podcast, man. It really has. Hey. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Pyre Media at amppyremedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amp Pyre shows as well as other great content. So make sure we have any more comments before I close the show out. We do not. All right, man. Eric, this has been a great show. Appreciate Al for joining us to talk boxing. We went a little overtime, but it was some great conversation. It was a great conversation. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yeti, deuces, A-Mega. Get us out, big homie.